And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And then we'll come back and make some references to get us caught up to speed. The Bible said, "When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked, and when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today for your word. Thank you, Father, that you want to give us sound minds. And then, Lord, we praise you that you want to reason together with us, both lost and saved people. And Lord, you want to us to be honest and open with you. Father, you want us to be bold in our witness. You want us to take a stand for the things of Christ. And Father, we are to preach the truth, and yet with love, and we understand that, I think. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be bold and bold with the truth, bold about Christ Jesus and what he's done. And Lord, bold about rebuking sin, bold about telling people they have a responsibility. And I pray, Father, for victories. Ask you, Lord, to bless the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of it this morning. Be honored and glorified with all that we say, all that we do. Meet needs of people, Lord, that aren't here. Father, those that are just kind of lackadaisical, I pray you'd build a fire under them and cause them to want to come. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul was supposed to take the gospel to Rome. And it didn't look like he was going to be able to. It looked like he was going to die. But the Lord in his wisdom worked it out to where he is put on a leaky boat and sent to Rome at Rome's expense. And of course, while he's there, he's in a storm. We don't know exactly how long the storm lasted, but we do know that according to chapter 27, verse number 20, it was bad enough that even the hardened sailors had given up any hope of being secured, any hope of being saved. And then Paul continued to witness to them and share the gospel with them and be a Christian like he's supposed to. And he mentions to them that they've been fasting for 14 days. And so we know that the ship was under siege by this storm for at least that length of time. And then the Bible says that the Apostle Paul continued to witness, and they fasted in chapter 27, verse 33. And then Paul encourages them that he says, "Now listen, I promise you based on the Word of God, based on the fact that the angel of God stood with me," incidentally he said that he was a servant of the Lord, whom I know and whom I serve, I believe are the terms that he used. And he said, "I promise you that not a hair is going to fall from your head if you'll just do what the Lord wants you to do." And so that greatly encouraged them. And we find that Paul's testimony to them was believable. They had confidence in that because as Paul gave his testimony and encouraged them to eat, the Bible says that they took courage and they began to eat. And of course, it's important that what we say and what we do come from the same book. Sometimes we say and don't do. Sometimes we do and don't say. It's important that both of those things come from the same book. And then, of course, they had no real idea where they were, according to verse number 39. But they took up anchor and committed themselves to the sea in verse number 40. And the ship ran aground, broke apart. Some of them swam in. Some of them went in on broken parts of the ship, boards and so forth. And they made it all to sea or to shore. And the Bible says in the last phrase of verse number 44 that they escaped all safe to the land. Well, then we find them, the Bible said in verse number 1, that when they got to this island, they knew. Then they knew where they were. Let me encourage you, if you make it through the storm, though you might not know in the storm where you're at, as you get through the storm, God will reveal some things to you that he'd never tell you any other way. The only way those sailors would have ever known where they had been is to know where they are now, and that God brought them there. And God wants to take us through the storm. And sometimes in the storm, man, you're upside down, you're sideways, you're turned around. You don't have any idea what's happening. You just know that God's in charge. And so you keep on keeping on. And then when the storm passes, God says, that's where you were. And this is where you are. And so they knew then where they'd been. And many times it's after the storm before we begin to learn things. The Bible says that they went upon a certain island. The name of the island was Melita. And the Melita means honey. Just like a bee makes honey. And I believe that God is telling us that after the storm, when the storm's passed, you find yourself in a sweet place. Many times after the storm, God will make the place so sweet that the storm, you even want to thank Him for the storm. Thank Him for that thing that brought you to the place where you're at. It's a sweet place once you make it through the storm. And then, of course, I could ask you the question, have you ever been in a storm, came through the storm, and it was such a sweet place that you said, thank you, Lord, for that storm? The Bible tells us that this place now is called Malta. The island now is called Malta. Some of you folk that work with waters, you probably maybe even have been there. Just less than 500,000 people live there now. And the Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, took the gospel there. What a precious thing. Verse number 2, the Bible talks about a barbarous people. Well, there's some definitions of a barbarous people. That's one whose speech is rude, rough, and harsh. Sounds to me like oil field workers, farm hands, maybe some truck drivers I know, and just some hardworking people that just are, they're crude and they're rough and they're harsh, but they've got souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. And then it's also one who speaks a foreign or a strange language which is not understood by another. And so that's you if you go to a foreign land and don't know the language. You're a barbarian. You're a barbarian. And then it's used by the Greeks for any foreigner that was ignorant of the Greek language. The Greeks thought if you didn't understand Greek, you weren't much. And of course, we know that's not true. Well, the Bible says that this barbarous people showed no little kindness. Now, maybe the people that are a little different can still be blessed and still be a blessing. Every day we meet people that are a little bit different. They're different than we are. Different color, different culture, different lifestyle. They have different football teams that they like. They like to vacation different places. Their families have different traditions. They're different than we are. But they still need the gospel. They still need the gospel. And so, and here we find too that little things count. You know, sometimes we think we have to pull somebody out of the ocean, or we have to stop a speeding car, or we have to lift up a car that's fallen off of a jack and rescue. No, little things count. Do you ever think that lighting a fire would be considered a courteous thing? Small things. They built a fire. And then the Bible says that they received him. Now here's a people, didn't know Paul, didn't know the sailors, and yet they were courteous. They showed them, and they're considered barbarous people, but they were courteous. Manners matter. And so they started a fire for them, and then the Bible says they received them, and it seems like they must have had compassion and care, much like some people don't have today. And they did that because of the rain and because of the cold. And then in verse number 3, we find that the Bible says when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Evidently, this fire is consuming the wood about as soon as it gets there. You say, how do you know? Well, the Bible doesn't say that he stacked it up. It says he laid it on the, he went and gathered some sticks, laid them on the fire, and so we find some things here. First off, we find that Paul was not a slacker. Paul was not lazy. Paul had a proper work ethic. And here's another one of those little things. That's a huge thing. Huge thing. Yes, it's a huge thing. Amen. And then the Bible said he gathered the firewood, and of course that's not a glamorous job at all. Here's the Apostle Paul, chosen to take the gospel to the Gentile nations. a missionary of all missionaries. He's out picking up sticks. And I can see some other fellows wanting to find out if the liquor maybe bobbed to the shore, if some of that goods they threw over, maybe we can find that and have ourselves some contraband. But the Apostle Paul's out picking up sticks. Some people, if they were going to go pick up sticks, they would want a title to go with it. The firewood foreman. That'd be a good title to have, wouldn't it? The firewood foreman. We'll call you the firewood foreman. Just bring wood and put it on the fire. Some people, if you don't give them a title, they won't do anything. I pastored a couple one time. Had just buku bunches of talent and abilities. They came to our church because my son and his friend went on their senior trip. They took a senior trip when they were getting ready to graduate. They went up into Wyoming one thing or another and went to church on Wednesday night. And that little thing so impressed this couple that they sold their house and moved to Colorado to attend our church. Little things. But this woman got to thinking about titles. She wanted her husband to have a title. And when we wouldn't give him a title, she wanted him in the ministry so bad. And when we wouldn't give him a title, he said, well, Pastor, can't you call him your associate? I said, he's not my associate. Well, can't you call him your assistant? He's not my assistant. Well, can't you? No, we have no titles. And so it wasn't too long before she got a ring in his nose and grabbed the ring in his nose and led him to Washington State, where a church had promised without meeting him that if he came, he could be the associate pastor. Titles. Paul didn't have a title. He's just picking up firewood. Of course, they got the title. About a year later, they got a divorce. The title was just an excuse. The title was just something the devil threw up there and said, hey, if you had this, the whole world would be right. If you just had this. No, a title, title. Well, Paul didn't have a title. And then, of course, the very good deed that he did produced this viper, a very venomous viper, whose bite is extremely dangerous, deadly, and toxic. It's very painful, I understand. Several different things would qualify as that, but they're all bad. They're all bad, so it wouldn't matter which one it was. And I believe that this viper is a picture of the devil. And it's pictured several ways. First off, until there was some service going on, this viper was dormant. Nobody even knew he was around. But when someone starts serving the Lord, one of the things that happened is he bit the server, not an observer. The one that was serving is the one that got bitten, not the 275 other people that were watching. I'm sure Paul may not have been the only one that was carrying wood, but he was the only one that they're mentioning. And so we find that it bit the one that was serving, not the observer. And then it bit Paul while he was serving. Paul, a servant of Christ, would never have gotten bit if it had said, until you give me a title, I'm not picking up firewood. I'm not going to do that. Until you pay me better, I'm not doing it. But while he was serving, he was bitten. And then he was bitten on the hand. He wasn't bitten on his foot, wasn't bitten on the ear, wasn't bitten on the nose. He was bitten on the hand. He was bitten in the part of the body that was doing the serving. In a New Testament church body, don't be surprised if the one that serves is the one that gets bitten. And then the Bible says that it fastened on his hand. I mean, it caught a hold of his hand. The devil's pretty good at hanging on. He sticks to his plan. He's always had a plan. The plan was to cause people to miss the cross of Calvary, miss the empty tomb. And then if they find those two things and they get saved, His plan now is to keep them from being effective anywhere else. He sticks by the stuff. Many would have been angry at the Lord for this happening, many would have said, well, I tried to serve the Lord and look what happened to me. My grandpa, my grandma, my daddy, my mama, my brother, my sister, my child, they tried to serve the Lord and they got bit by a serpent. Many people would have used it for an excuse to quit, been angry at the Lord for this happening. But the Bible says that the Apostle Paul wasn't angry. Verse number 4, this was witnessed by the barbarians. And I believe this teaches us when they won't read the Word of God or won't hear the Word of God, they need to be demoed the Word of God. And they formed an opinion about the Apostle Paul. No doubt this man is guilty. And we say, yep, they were barbarians, all right. Judging a man like that without any more evidence than what they had, just circumstantial evidence, didn't know him very long. He's bitten by this. He escaped the sea. No doubt he's a murderer, and justice has gotten him. He's going to die. And yet, we think they were quick to judge. But think with me about a couple Bible illustrations. Job had a friend. His name was Eliphaz. In Job chapter 4, verse number 7, he's speaking to Job and he says, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. He said to Job, if it wasn't for the fact that you're guilty, none of this would be happening. You'd be skating free. This happened because you're guilty. In the New Testament, in John chapter 9, and verse number 2, Jesus had his disciples, and they came across a man that was born blind. First thing they said, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. We need to understand the importance of not forming opinions till we know the facts. Verse number 5, the Bible said he shook off the beast. He didn't wait for a government program. He did it himself. He didn't ask for a permit to kill this viper. He didn't say, I wonder if this thing's on the endangered list. Maybe I better get rid of him somewhere else. He didn't say anything like that. He didn't cry and announce a pity party. He didn't claim that the Lord had lied to him. He just shook it off. And the same fire that brought the viper forth destroyed it. Most people, or at least many Christians, never see the death of the viper because at the first nip, they stop. And so they never see the viper shaken off. They never see it destroyed because they quit. And then the Bible says of Paul that he felt no harm. God's protection of him. And then, of course, we didn't read down that far, but in verse number 6, the Bible says that, I guess we did read down that far too. The Bible said they changed their minds now and said he was a god. So they went from one extreme clear over to the other extreme because the Apostle Paul was what he ought to be. I wonder when people look at our lives, if they see a reason to come to Christ or they see an excuse to stay away. One of the two. Father, thank you today that you love us. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you, Father, that you want to teach us with it. And Lord, I'm excited about the morning message and tonight's lesson. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us, instruct us, empower us, get glory from all that we say and do. Bring people out to hear what you have prepared for them at this time. Pray for victory. Pray for those that are sick today that you'd work in their life. Pray for Matt as he travels. Lord, I pray for honor and glory to be brought to our Savior by the decisions that the members and friends of Bethel Baptist Church make today. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.